ABUBD BD CSS Tap 2 Tap 2 So Joseph said to his followers, come near to me, please. And today they came near, and he says, I am your partner, Joseph. You sold to, so as you is no, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me, because you said to send me people, piece of knife, family has been to use it deal on yes to 5 years and send me people to push up for your win, for your A, B, 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 for your many, many survivors. Egypt.
Good evening. Thanks for being here today. Let's start with something we all love. Waiting. You know, waiting in long lines. Waiting for dinner when we're starving. Or those painful 5 seconds before you can skip an ad on YouTube. It's the best, right? Yeah, no. Patiently waiting is the worst. And perseverance, to me, that's just a word for patiently suffering. And passion? Well, I'm passionate about a lot of things, like mesocyclones and the string theory. Who am I kidding? Food and sleep, I'm 14. But, seriously, today I would like to share with you how patience, perseverance, and passion can actually change your life. To do this, I'll show you 3 powerful examples of godly men from the Bible who faced the evil and misfortunes of by his own brothers. I've had arguments with my siblings before, but never have I thought, I could use some money. I could sell my siblings. Now that's real drama. But here's the crazy part. Joseph didn't fight back or get revenge. He patiently waited. He spent years in slavery and even got thrown in prison for something he didn't do. But through it all, he stayed faithful, trusting that God was in control, even when life made no sense. After all that waiting, Joseph went from wearing prison stripes to wearing stylish Egyptian clothing and becoming second in command of Egypt. And my favorite part, the same brothers who betrayed him, he saved their lives. So how does this apply to us? When life feels unfair, like not making the team, struggling in school, or feeling left out, we have a choice. Complain and quit, or trust and wait. Psalm 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when others succeed in their ways when they carry out their wicked schemes. Joseph waited through betrayal and hardship, but he stayed faithful, trusting that God was in control. Trust that God had a bigger plan. We should too. God's delays are not his denials. Be patient like Joseph. Now let's move on to perseverance. It's a mouthful, I know, but it's just a fancy word for pushing through your suffering. To me, Paul is the ultimate example of perseverance in the New Testament. He was on fire for the Lord, but that just led to more suffering. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23-33, we learn that he was imprisoned repeatedly, exposed to death, beaten, stoned, and if that wasn't bad enough, shipwrecked. 3 times. Wow. That really makes me stop and think about my own problems. Reading about godly people like Paul helps me put things in perspective. He's such a strong example for us. Like in 2 Corinthians 11:30, Paul says, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." Paul truly shows us what it means to suffer and persevere in the faith. But he never wavered in his mission to spread the gospel. And on top of all of that, he encourages us, like in Galatians 6:9, stating, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Let his words give you hope. Paul is an extreme example of suffering. For us, perseverance might look like pushing through hard classes, practicing for a sport, or dealing with rejection. It's easy to want to quit when things get tough. But, like Paul, we need to keep going, knowing that God has a purpose in our struggles. We must persevere like Paul. Lastly, let's discuss passion, as demonstrated by Peter. Peter was passionate about following Christ, even though he stumbled along the way. His passion led him to walk on water, but his doubt caused him to sink. He declared he would never deny Jesus, yet did so 3 times before the rooster crowed. Despite his failures, Peter's passion for Christ never wavered. Peter was restored and became a bold and fearless preacher and teacher in the early church. His life reminds us that God is always at work for good. Sometimes, as teens, we fail, doubt, and feel like we aren't good enough. Maybe we mess up in friendships, make bad choices, or struggle in our faith. Peter's story shows us that failure isn't final. Acts 4:13 says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus." If God could use Peter's passion despite his failures for good, he can use ours too. Be passionate like Peter. Just as he did with Joseph, Paul, and Peter, God can take your life and turn it into something beautiful. What was once meant for evil, God used for good. So, today, let us remember that no matter our past, no matter our struggles, God can use everything for his glory. If we are willing to trust in his plan, have patience like Joseph, perseverance like Paul, and passion like Peter. You don't have to be perfect, you just have to be willing. God does extraordinary things with ordinary people who say yes to him. So, the next time you're stuck waiting, struggling to push through, or feeling like a failure, remember this, God's not done with your story yet.
Good evening, and today I will be talking about why God meant it for good. Now you may be thinking, God meant it for good. What does this mean? So imagine this. You finish your shift at work, and you're finally ready to go home. You're sick and tired of work, which I don't have a job, but if I did, I would be tired of it instantly. So you walk out of the doors of your work, and you get this sense of freedom. Yes, I'm finally on my way home. So you get in your car, and you go to start it, and your car doesn't start. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I got in my car and it didn't start, I would be super mad, and I would just give up there. So you go ahead and give it another shot, because you're feeling a little lucky here. Your car still doesn't start, and you're thinking, why did I even give that another try? I knew it wasn't going to start. So you're sitting there thinking, looking out your windows, and you say, third time's the charm. I might as well give it another shot. Even though you're thinking, this isn't going to start. Why am I even trying this? So you go ahead, your car starts, and you're thinking, yes, I get to go home. Finally. So, like many others, I'd be frustrated wanting to get home. So, why do things like this happen to me? Whether it's the simple things, let's look at James chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, and he sends them greetings. This verse means you should try to find joy in trials and hard times. Now, me, I cannot do that. It is the most difficult thing that you could possibly do. I mean, I just think about the worst when bad things happen like that. So So, you finally get home.
Yes.
Well, you still have to go to work tomorrow, but you're not looking at that right now. So you sit in your favorite chair, all relaxed, and you're scrolling on your phone, and you see a headline. Driver under the influence, arrested. If you were me, you'd be like, okay, keep scrolling, like the of us teenagers do. But you wait. You're like, this looks pretty interesting, so you go ahead and you're thinking, I'm going to go ahead and read this. So you get to reading it. You're like, this happened really recently. So you keep reading and you're like, this happened like 15 minutes ago. You're thinking, wow, what if I had been on the streets going through this area when this driver had been on the road? I mean, what if this driver had hit me or made me swerve off the road? I mean, you're thinking, wow, that could have been me there. My car didn't start. So you need to find the joy in things that happen that are bad. Have you guys ever wondered if smaller things like that situation have happened, whether you can't find your shoes or you dropped a pencil and you got to pick it up, just things like that? Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, and we know that for those who love God, and all things will work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, what does this mean? This verse means that if you have faith in God and you truly believe, he will reward you and protect you. So things that always inconvenience you do not have to be bad things. Thank you.
About a year ago, my parents took me to an exotic animal show. I've always loved learning about different kinds of animals, so this was an awesome experience for me. And I was instantly drawn to one in particular, the gargoyle gecko. It was small, unique, and looked a little like a tiny alligator. Best of all, I learned that they were relatively easy to take care of. Since my family already had pets at home, I figured I could probably convince my mom to let me add just one more to the mix. At first, it seemed like I was making progress. They actually looked like they were considering it. Until my dad suddenly remembered something. My bonsai tree. A bonsai tree should be one of the easiest things in the world to take care of, he reminded me. It only takes 5 ice cubes per week to stay alive, and yet my bonsai tree was at home, sitting in its pot, as dead as it could be. If I couldn't take care of something as simple as a tiny tree, how could I be trusted to take care of a living, breathing animal? Then my dad made me a deal. If I could prove I was responsible enough to bring that bonsai tree back to life and take care of it consistently, he would get me my gecko when the animal show came to town again the next year. At first, I saw this as just a challenge, a way to prove that I was ready for something that I really wanted. But as I began watering the bonsai tree, paying close attention to its condition, and making sure I didn't forget about it, I realized something deeper was happening. My dad wasn't just trying to teach me about responsibility. He was teaching me about faithfulness. And in the same way, God often puts small responsibilities in our hands before entrusting us with greater things. What may seem like an obstacle is actually an opportunity for growth. As Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. We all want God to bless us with bigger opportunities, greater responsibilities, and more influence. But before he does that, he tests our faithfulness in the little things. Luke 16, verse 10 says, He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Just like my dad wasn't going to give me a gecko until I showed I could handle a bonsai tree, God often waits to give us greater blessings until we can prove that we can handle what we already have. Matthew 25, verse 23 reinforces this when the master tells his servant, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. So if you're in a season in your life where you feel stuck or overlooked, ask yourself, am I being faithful with what God has already given me? At first, I was frustrated that I had to take care of a tree before getting what I really wanted. But later, I realized that the process was making me more disciplined and responsible. God does the same thing in our lives. Romans 5, verse 3 through 4 says, we also glory in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Joseph's life is a perfect example. He went from being betrayed by his brothers, thrown into prison, and forgotten, to becoming the second most powerful man in Egypt. Every challenge he faced prepared him for his greater calling. James 1, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life." So when we face obstacles, instead of asking why is this happening, we should ask, how is God using this to prepare me? Many times, we want to skip ahead to the big moments, but God asks us to be faithful where we are right now. Maybe in your life, there's something small that God has given you to take care of, a responsibility at school, at work, at church, or in your family. It may seem small, but Zechariah 4, verse 10 reminds us, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Joseph was faithful as a slave and in prison before he was promoted to the palace. David was faithful as a shepherd before he became king. What we do today prepares us for what God has in store tomorrow. Eventually, I did bring my bonsai tree back to life. I took care of it every day, and my dad kept his promise, and I got my gecko. But looking back, I realized that the bigger reward wasn't the gecko. It was the lesson of faithfulness. What small responsibility has God placed in your hands today? Maybe it's being kind to a difficult person, serving in a small way at church, or simply staying consistent in your prayer life. Whatever it is, remember that God sees your faithfulness, and just like Joseph, what may seem small or even unfair right now is actually a part of God's bigger plan, because what others may see as insignificant, God means for good. So I'll leave you with this question. Are you being faithful with what you have now so God can trust you with more later?
The 1992 film Sister Act has always been a childhood favorite of mine. In it, we watch as Reno lounge singer Dolores Fancartier witnesses her boyfriend committing a murder and must escape to keep herself safe. To assure her safety, the police force ties the rather opinionated singer in the last place her boyfriend will ever look for her, a church. And suddenly, she finds herself in a real storm. She goes into hiding as a nun. At first, the experience is quite bumpy, yet comedic. We follow her as she struggles to fit in with the other nuns and get used to the simple and rigid lifestyle. However, she finds her place when the head nun places her in charge of the choir due to her experience as a singer. While her style is less Catholic than the Reverend Nun wanted, the choir is transformed, and Dolores is overjoyed with her newfound usefulness. Now, I wouldn't necessarily recommend this movie to a new Christian who is looking for spiritual guidance through film, but watching it got me thinking about this year's theme of Last Leaders. God meant it for good. I highly doubt that anyone in this room has ever been a Reno lounge singer who witnessed a murder, but I know for a fact that everyone in this room has had something bad happen to us before. Sometimes it gets so bad that you may even ask, God, where are you in all of this? Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Notice that it doesn't say only in some things, but in all things, God is working for our good. So how come at times it can just feel like God isn't there? Well, today I have good news for you. God is there when you are struggling, and he is an awesome God who takes what is broken and makes it whole, who takes what is meant for evil and turns it into something beautiful. Think about Joseph. If you have looked at the graphic for L2L this year, then you've probably seen something that looks a little similar to the coat of many colors. And there's a reason for that. Joseph is one of the prime examples of someone who suffered hardships only to benefit from them in the end. If we read through chapters 37 through 50 in Genesis, we read all about Joseph and his turbulent life. He became the favorite son of his father, receiving the iconic coat of many colors that many of us have heard about. His brothers became jealous of the attention that he was receiving. And after a few amazing prophetic dreams that the brothers didn't quite understand, the brothers threw their own brother, their own blood, into a pit made of dirt. Sometimes it feels like our friends and loved ones throw us into a pit of dirt too. But that was not the end of the story. It got worse. Joseph was thrown into the hands of the Egyptians. And after an accusation of misconduct,
thrown into jail for something he didn't do. I would rather be in the dirt pit now, wouldn't you? However, in jail, Joseph, through God's help, interpreted two dreams from the Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker. And because help came from God, those dreams came true. And wouldn't you know it, Pharaoh himself, leader over all Egypt, requests for Joseph's dream interpreting experience. By the end of the story, Joseph had prepared the surrounding area for a famine and was Pharaoh's trusted co-leader over Egypt. But none of it would have happened if it weren't for the accusation of misconduct or for the despicable acts that Joseph had received. It's so easy to listen and smile when hearing about other people who went through life-changing events and ended up victorious in the end. But I don't have 11 brothers. I wasn't promoted to be the leader of a country, and I certainly wasn't promoted to be the leader of a Catholic choir. So how come it's so much harder to apply to our own lives the idea that good will always prevail? Maybe today you're in the middle of a storm, and you can't see how God could possibly bring anything good from it. But I want to remind you, God is not finished with your story. The very thing that the enemy is using to try to destroy you may be the very thing that God will use to build you up. Joseph didn't know what happened to him. He didn't know that in the modern day, little boys and girls have been wearing coats of many colors for vacation Bible school. He was in the middle of a storm. And I hate to break it to you, but these storms in life will never go away. But let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 37 through 41. It says, "A furious storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm." They were afraid and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Ladies and gentlemen, God is the eye of our storm, our refuge in the chaos, and Jesus is the one who brings hope. Storms remind us of our need for God, who loves us unconditionally and prevails over any pain or heartbreak Satan might throw our way. But only if we choose to walk with him. Some say God won't let Satan give us the problem we can't handle. But the truth is this: God won't let Satan give us the problem we can't handle with God. Through God, all things are possible. Even when doubt creeps in or when you feel lost, like Dolores Van Cartier on the run. Maybe you've been struggling to see the eye of the storm in your own story. But remember the promise in Romans: in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. This morning, hold on to that truth. God is working for you. He's telling your story. He's fighting your battles. And he means it for good.
Thank you all for being here. As always, we want to offer an invitation for those who would like to respond. I hope you'd be encouraged by something that you've seen tonight. And as Turner just reminded us, we're all going through storms, but God can use you and use situations for good despite the bad and the evil around us. If you need prayers, if you need encouragement, if you want to talk about being a Christian, or if you're ready to be a Christian, please come as we stand and we sing this song.